And thank you, JB. You guys can be seated. Thanks, worship team. Once again, you have brought us into the presence of Almighty God, and we're so, so grateful for that. Thank you. It's an honor and a privilege to preach this morning in this last week of the series, See No Evil, Hear No Evil, Speak No Evil. It's been a good 3 weeks, and it's been clarifying again, especially as we look around at our current culture and everything that happens around us, the things we're inundated with. It's been really good to be in this series, and as I've told you many times, this process of preparing to stand here and preach is not only challenging for me, but it is convicting, and it is a source of cleansing for me, really, as I go through this process. We've defined in this series that evil is anything that sets itself up against the character of God. So when we see no evil, when we say see no evil, when we say hear no evil, and today when we say speak no evil, it simply means that anything that is not the character of God smacks of evil, right? So if you look at current events today, Kanye apparently came to Christ, which is fantastic, right? There's a bunch of people in the Christian community that are going, oh, I don't know about this. I don't know about this. Listen, the impeachment hearings are happening. And there's a whole bunch of words being spoken by a whole bunch of people. I'm not going to comment much on what is happening right now, except to say, be on your guard. Let what you hear come to you through the filter of Jesus. The Bible implores us to listen and be slow to speak. And we'd all be better off if we actually did what the Bible recommends that we do. Sometimes a lot of things get said, and we, through the filter of however we hear, we sit back and we go, huh, my dog Oscar, when you talk to him, he does this. He goes, his head cocks to the one side or the other, and he sure tries to understand. But sometimes we do the same thing, maybe not physically, but we're like, what exactly does that mean? One time, there was this ogre called Shrek, and he had a donkey. Take a look.
Coming to you live from far, far away, it's Swamp Talk with Shrek and Donkey.
Breaking news on Swamp Talk. There's been a candy forest fire.
No!
There's an unseasonably large number of s'mores.
S'mores? Oh, I just can't.
Can't what?
Can't even.
Can't even?
You got that right.
Got what right?
Oh, come on, Shrek, you know.
Know what?
It's an expression. All the cool kids are saying it. You use it when you just can't even.
Can't even what? Donkey. Swim?
No.
Dance?
Nope.
Not be annoying?
Really? You had to go there?
You need to finish your sentence.
Oh, but I can't.
Talk properly.
Nope. I just can't. Even.
You know what? Fine. Me neither. I can't even.
There you go, Shrek.
Understand what you're talking about.
Well, we all do that occasionally, right? I can't even. I can't even understand what you're saying. What comes out of your mouth, I'm not getting it. How often have you sat across from someone and that has been in your head? Like, I don't even know what you're saying right now. Well, we have in the United States of America this thing called freedom of speech. We get to say whatever we choose to say. Now, there are some limits. There are certain levels of hate speech that have been outlawed. But without the things that are outlawed, now let's just think about what is it that we can say. Can we say anything we absolutely want to? How far can we exercise this freedom of speech? Are there any limitations And if there are, what is helpful? What is honoring? Is gossip and slander within the parameters of being okay if we're saying speak no evil and if we're exercising our freedom of speech? Well, let's go to the Bible real quick. There are a long list of scriptures that will address this. I've got a few here. If you're taking notes this morning, listen, I really implore you to open your Bibles, take some notes, and as we go through this, because we want to go back and you'll want to revisit these. So we start in Ephesians 4:29. Don't use foul or abusive language. Let everything you say be good and helpful so that your words will be an encouragement to those who hear them. Colossians 4:6. Let your conversation be gracious and attractive so that you will have the right response for everyone. Matthew 15:11. It is not what goes into the mouth that defiles a person, but it's what comes out of the mouth that defiles a person. Proverbs 15:1-2. A soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. The tongue of the wise commends knowledge, but the mouths of fools pour out folly. Ephesians 5:4. This is a big one. Let there be no filthiness, nor foolish talk, nor crude joking, which are out of place, but instead let there be thanksgiving. Proverbs 21:23 wraps it up with this. Watch your tongue, keep your mouth shut, and you'll stay out of trouble. Pretty straightforward. With that, turn to Numbers 22. Numbers 22 in the Old Testament. There you'll find the story of... All right, well, I have to be straight with you. This morning, I asked the worship team, so do you guys know who in the Bible had a donkey that spoke to him? And afterwards, somebody said Shrek. Well, he wasn't in the Bible. But who had a donkey? What was his name? And I've grown up, as apparently the whole worship team has, and have pronounced this guy's name as Balaam, right? But whenever I begin to preach something, especially a name out of the Old Testament, I go back to a pronunciation and I ask Google, well, how do you pronounce this name? And Google says it's Balaam. So all week I'm Balaam, Balaam, Balaam. It's not Balaam, it's Balaam. This morning no one knows what Balaam is, so he's Balaam. So bear with me. We're going with Balaam. Balaam in the Old Testament in Numbers 22, he was a pagan seer. Remember the first week of our series when we talked about see no evil? We talked about being able to perceive the supernatural, to see beyond our current circumstances, to see what God is doing beyond what we can see in the natural. Well, he was a pagan seer. So that means that he didn't believe in Almighty God, but God had, he was twisting the gift that he'd been given and using it for his own purposes. He was a diviner, a predictor of the future. Some might call him a fortune teller, but he did it all without God being glorified. So when you twist something that is intended for God and you do otherwise with it, if you're using it for evil, you're dipping into witchcraft. He was a wizard that knew about God, but he had knowledge, and he came from the same area as Abraham, yet drew from occultic sources to exercise his gift. He knew about God. Do you know about God, but not actually know God? That's really significant, you guys, that we don't just have the knowledge, but that we exercise our lives within the parameters of what we know about God. Do you know God? Balaam was famous. Like, people knew about him. He was, some characteristics about him. He was self-willed. He was double-minded. He was eloquent in speech. He was presumptuous and an evil counselor. He was a strange mixture of a man. See if you can identify with this. He spoke like God, but he acted like the devil. We're delighted in his words of blessing that he spoke over the Israelites, but we're disgusted by his deeds. His head was filled with things of the Spirit, but his heart was filled with evil. He was interested in the will of God, but he sure wasn't interested in living it out. He had a form of godliness, but it had no control over his life. And so, with that background, Israel, the people of Israel, have left Egypt, and they're marching into the territory that King Balak is responsible for. And King Balak starts shaking with fear. He's scared about this multitude of people that has come into his territory. And so he sends his messengers with a diviner's fee. They brought some cash, right? They came to Balaam and they said, Balak wants you to come and he wants you to curse Israel. In that ancient world, there was a lot of belief in what a magician can do to put a curse on a people. So Balaam said, well, hang out with me. Let me go ask God. Turns out God says, no, you can't go. I'm not going to give you permission to go with them. God says, speak no evil. So long story short, they go back to Balak and say he couldn't come. God wouldn't give him permission to come. See, isn't it interesting? He goes and asks God, this person he has, this being that he has some knowledge about, who he doesn't really know, but he uses God in that way to say, no, I can't come. All right, so Balak says, all right, this is going to be 2.0. I'm going to send more powerful people. So he sends princes of his kingdom back to Balak, and he says, all right, I'm going to give you whatever you want. Like, whatever money you need, I'm going to give it to you. You'll have honor and you'll have influence without measure. He's really pouring it on. And so in Numbers 22, starting in verse 18, Balaam answered, even if Balak offered me a palace full of silver or gold, I wouldn't do anything to disobey the Lord my God. He's saying this with a raised eyebrow, right? You are welcome to spend the night here, just as the others did, and I will find out if the Lord has something else to say about this. And that night, God said, Balaam, I'll let you go to Moab with Balak's messengers, but do only what I say. So Balaam got up the next morning and saddled his donkey, then left with the Moabite officials. Well, Balaam's showing his true colors here. He actually entertains the idea that maybe God wasn't serious about the first time, right? But God had already been clear about exactly how he felt about it. But hey, give it another go. Balaam wasn't in alignment with God, but then it appears that God changed his mind. Don't go. Okay, go. Parents, have you ever been there? Please, 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 please. No. And then it's the next time and the next time and the next time. But finally, it's like, all right, you go. You bear the consequences of your decision. All right, go. I feel like that's where God was in this circumstance. What did Balak say to the princes, to the messengers? He said, though Balak were to give me his house full of silver and gold, I could do nothing. Oh, now we see the real heart of the man. It's been exposed. Silver and gold is what he was after. He didn't go the first time because the price wasn't right. They hadn't offered enough money yet. But now he had to decide whether he would do the right thing, say the right thing, or chuck it all out the window and get what he really wants, which is the cold, hard cash. He's in a conflict of wills. His will, God's will. Balaam loved cash more than character. He thought more of the gold than of God. He would do anything if the price was right. Now, in our own country, we've heard a few things along these lines where people will say certain things with a raised eyebrow. They will say certain things. They'll look at the camera and they'll say, well, it really depends on what the word is. We've heard that. Or we've heard, I want nothing. I want nothing. Matthew 5:37 says, but let your yes be yes and your no, no, for whatever is more than these is from the evil one. Early in the morning, you see Balaam is now on his donkey. He's decided to go to Moab with Balak's messengers. He's heading towards the plains of Moab to presumably curse the Israelites. But King Balak didn't know what was coming because God said, go, but say only what I tell you. You will speak no evil. So you might know the story. He's on the back of this donkey. And three times the donkey sees what Balaam can't see. Balaam's got cataracts over his eyes, apparently. He cannot see beyond what's the natural thing that's right in front of him. But what Balak doesn't see, the donkey sees. It's an angel with a sword blocking the road. Sometimes that's what happens when we get so preoccupied with our own agenda. We are blinded to what God is doing all around us. So the donkey sees the angel with the sword, and she takes off into the ditch, out into the field. Balaam takes his rod, and he beats that donkey and gets her back on the road. And as they get closer to the city, they're going through a walled part of, there's a vineyard on either side. It's very narrow. And again, the angel's standing there with the sword in hand, and the donkey swerves over and smashes Balak's foot against the wall, and again, he beats her. Time number three, they're now again getting closer, and they're in a very narrow path. And Balak's donkey sees the angel again, and it's, you can't get past the angel this time. And so she just lays down. He beats her the third time. He's in an absolute rage. And we pick it up in verse 28. Then the Lord gave the donkey the ability to speak. What have I done to you that deserves your beating me three times, it asked Balaam. And Balaam talks back. He says, you've made me look like a fool. If I had a sword with me, I would kill you. But I am the same donkey you've ridden all your life, the donkey answered. Have I ever done anything like this before? Well, no. No, you haven't. Then the Lord opened Balaam's eyes, and he saw the angel of the Lord standing in the roadway with a drawn sword in his hand. Balaam bowed his head and fell face down on the ground before him. Why did you beat your donkey those three times? The angel of the Lord demanded. Look, I have come to block your way because you are stubbornly resisting me. Three times the donkey saw me and shied away. Otherwise, I would certainly have killed you by now and spared the donkey. The moral of the story is, your donkey just saved your behind, Balaam. Because long before Shrek and Donkey came along, right? There was Balaam and his donkey. And if God wants to tell you something, he's infinitely creative. He has the right to do anything he pleases. He can employ all measure of circumstances to reach us. He's not limited in any way. He wants us to know his will, and he will speak to us in any way possible in order to get through to us. I wonder, what is more difficult to do? Open the eyes of Balaam or allow a donkey to speak? Well, Balaam was blinded by his greed. He was going to have that money if it cost him everything. It took a supernatural act on the part of God to open his eyes to see what he was doing. Then Balaam said to the angel of the Lord, whoa, I've sinned. I've sinned, for I did not know that you were standing in the way against me. Now then, if it is displeasing to you, you think? If it is displeasing to you, I will turn back, he says. He sinned, and yet he does not want to turn back. His mind is still set on going. He still does not acknowledge that he has displeased God. Listen, James, the brother of Jesus, wrote in James 4:17, he wrote, if I know the right thing to do, but still don't do it, guess what? It's sin. It's wrong. See, Balaam's blessing instead of cursing angered Balak to no end. And yet he couldn't. He couldn't curse because God said, you'll only say what I tell you to say when you go. And so all he could do, three times, they went to different peaks of mountains to look over the valley where the Israelites were. Never could Balaam actually give that curse. All he could do was bless the Israelites. In Numbers 31:16, sometime behind closed doors, in some conversation that not very many people were privy to, something was said that actually now comes to light in Numbers 31. We read that it was Balaam who counseled Balak and the kings of Midian to seduce the nation of Israel by indulging in sexual immorality with the Moabite women. See, when he could not get the job done any other way, Balaam counseled Balak to subvert and destroy Israel through the means of sex and self. In 2 Peter 2, verses 15 and 16, there's this warning against false prophets and words spoken with evil intent. Here's what he says. Peter says, they have wandered off the right road and followed the footsteps of Balaam, son of Beor, who loved to earn money by doing wrong. But Balaam was stopped from his mad course when the donkey rebuked him with a human voice. You know what? Unfortunately, many people are still running greedily in the error of Balaam for profit, teaching things they ought not to teach for the sake of dishonest gain. They speak great, superfluous words of emptiness, flattering people to gain an advantage. See, Balaam had knowledge of right and wrong. And whenever he debated the issue, he came down on the side of convenience and financial gain. He was mixing falsehood with truth and came with a gospel that was no gospel at all. The gospel is good news. Balaam was not coming with any good news. Oswald Chambers asks us this question. He says, are you learning to say things after listening to God? Or are you saying things and trying to make God's word fit in it? Are you learning to say things after listening? Do you sit and listen to God? Do you believe he's talking to you? Are you in his word? Or do you just make some stuff up and try to make God's word fit in it? We see, we hear, and we speak. No evil. What are some practical steps for us to bring this into our lives and enact it? Enact this idea that we would see, hear, and speak good. Well, many of us, we need to update God's status in our own lives. Priorities need to be reconfigured. See, Balaam was constantly putting himself first. Balaam was looking out for Balaam. He wanted money, prestige, position, and it appeared as if he was honoring God. But it was only with his lips and not with his heart. So this morning I'd ask, what's your motive for following the way of Jesus? Are you following the way of Jesus? Number two, who will you serve? Will you serve self or God? What's your focus on? Refocus. Balaam's focus is on self and not on God. He gave the appearance of serving God, but he did what he wanted to do. A lot of people in church, a lot of people that come to church Sunday morning, they're faking their way through. And unknowingly, they're following the example of Balaam, speaking inauthentic words because they don't really do what they say. Number three, remember, we can't deceive God. We can't deceive God. On the surface, Balaam appeared to honor God. I can only speak what you want me to speak. But behind the scenes, he did exactly the opposite. John 14, 15 says, if you love me, you will keep my commands. If you read that, does it appear like obedience is an option? No. It is then that grace we subscribe to. If we don't obey, the grace we subscribe to is awfully cheap. Number four, God is concerned with what we do more than what we say we will do. Do we actually put into action the things that we say we're about? We deceive ourselves if we think that it's only about what we say we are going to do, because God knows our hearts. God knows our hearts. And unlike what Balaam thought, God knew exactly what he was going to do. God knows our minds. He knows our thoughts. He knows our hearts. How often have you promised to follow and obey God? I wonder this morning if you're actually living God's way and not just talking about it. See, when it comes to the words we speak, it is not just our inherent need to grapple with specific words we use, which is important, but it is about the heart of the matter. What's going on inside of you this morning that would allow for degrading language? If you find yourself spewing words, it's time to reassess what's going on inside of you. What would allow you to gossip about someone, to slander someone? What's going on inside of you if you're making false statements and ruining another person's reputation? You might ask the question, is gossip and slander, unforgiveness, are these within the character of God? Not if evil is everything that sets itself up against the character of God. That is not, those descriptors, those words are not found in the character of God. And so we, the followers of Jesus, we live a different way. When we're tempted to gossip about someone, instead we bless. If we're tempted to slander someone, we bless. See, God isn't looking. Anna Aquino gives us this quote. She says, God isn't looking for a bunch of actors. He is looking for people who are sold out to his plan and purpose. People who see no evil, hear no evil, speak no evil. See, Balaam, he saw, but he didn't perceive. He heard, but he didn't discern. And he spoke without understanding. But we are the people of God, living in his grace, seeing, hearing, and speaking, infused by the Spirit of Almighty God, believing that his purposes are being worked out in our lives. This is not a cheap, inexpensive grace, but one in which our Savior Jesus bled. He died on the cross for us. It's this grace, this kindness that brings us to repentance. And it brings us into right relationship with him. Some of us in the house this morning have been snookered. We've believed in someone or something, and they've taken us for a ride. I would say to you this morning that the firm foundation of the Word of God, if you start there, if you ask the filter that you see through, if you filter it through the Word of God and the Holy Spirit empowers you to do just that, you'll find yourself being able to discern at a greater level. You'll find yourself being able to lean into the power of God in you. And you may be snookered again sometime. You may be taken in by someone that speaks great words but doesn't follow it up with the right action. But it's important for us to constantly be on our toes, spiritually on our toes, so that we can discern what is right, what is wrong, who's speaking the truth, who's speaking lies. I would ask you to stand with me now. This is who we are. This is who we are. Say it with me. It's on the screen behind me. 2 Corinthians 10, 3 to 5. We live in this world, but we don't act like its people or fight our battles with the weapons of this world. Instead, we use God's power that can destroy fortresses. We destroy arguments and every bit of pride that keeps anyone from knowing God. This is who we are. We see no evil. We hear no evil. We speak no evil. So this week, when you feel life closing in, you know it's Thanksgiving week, and you're going to be with relatives most likely, life can start closing in. Steer clear of politics if you want to have a more open space to talk in. Don't give up. Don't give in, because God has given you everything you need to see, hear, and speak His language of love, of grace. A new mind, that you have placed within us everything we need to see the good in every situation, to hear the beautiful words of life that come from you, and out of the abundance of our heart to speak the words of life that you've placed within us. God, we are the people of this earth right now. We choose, though, God, to be the people that bring the kingdom of God to this place, to this community. And Father, we believe that you are in the restoration business. You are in the business of transforming us to become more like you. But it starts with the choices, everyday choices we make. And so today, God, we commit ourselves to being the people that will bring about life change, first in us and in those we're connected with. Let us be the influencers that no one could say to us, well, they're following the way of Balaam, who said a lot of things, but he did the opposite. Let us be people of the Word of God, people of transformation and restoration. And we thank you. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And everybody said, amen. Hey, you guys, if you'd like prayer, the prayer team's going to be up front. Every weekend is a prime opportunity to take another step in your relationship with Jesus. Sometimes you just need a word of encouragement. Sometimes you need to point your feet a different direction. Sometimes you need to turn away from the direction you're walking and make a new start. The kingdom of God comes to those whose hearts are repentant. You know, it's we can get into a really feel-good gospel sometimes, when the truth is we need heart change from the inside out. It's not just about, whoa, let me feel the good things, but it is also about saying, I am sorry for my sin. I have walked away from you, God. I need to be in right relationship with you. I want to be in alignment with you. That's you this morning, come on up here. Prayer team's going to be up here. They're ready and willing to pray with you. Thanks.